Today, we're going to hear from Tina Peters. She's the Mesa County, Colorado clerk. She has responsibility over motor vehicles and elections. And she's got a story. It's pretty interesting. And it's connected to a lot of overreach from the FBI. You'll want to hear it. That's next. Hey, welcome back to the Barry Farah Show Culture Shift. Great to have you with us today. We've got a special guest. Her name is Tina Peters. She's the county clerk of Mesa County, Colorado. That's a far west county in Colorado, typically a very conservative county. So let's just get right to it. Tina, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate you coming along. When did you get elected to your post?
In 2018.
Okay. And was that by a landslide or by a squeaker, or how did that work for you?
Well, I had someone in the office who was opposing me, and I ran on increasing customer service and reducing wait times. The wait times in motor vehicle were 3+ hours. And I knew as a business owner, I could change that.
So your motivation for jumping into politics was to reduce wait time at the motor vehicles?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so your grand ambition was to help people have a better customer experience at the Department of Motor Vehicles in Mesa County.
Yes, and in government in general, yes.
So I know I'm repeating myself, but you're basically thinking in terms of the customer, and you wanted them to have a better experience. And so they're paying taxes. And while they're involved in the process that almost all of us have to be involved in at some point, which is connected to the Department of Motor Vehicles, you wanted that experience to go from 3 hours down to what? What was your goal?
To eliminate wait times.
Wait times at all? Like walk in and get it?
That was my goal. And
to walk in and not have a number, just literally walk in and go straight to the desk.
That's correct.
Has that ever happened before in the history of Department of Motor Vehicles in the whole world?
Not that I know of. I opened several other offices to increase customer service and then trained people to appreciate the customer. I told them they were paying their paycheck and we needed to treat them with respect. And as a result, the employees found that the customers were nicer. And
so what did you get the wait times down to? I mean, like you've been in it for almost 3 years now, I guess 3 years. What did the wait times get down to?
Right. Well, you know, it fluctuates because of the time of year.
But if they were on average 3 hours, what's the on average
now? 3+ hours, 30 minutes.
Okay. So you went from 3 hours to 30 minutes. So it's a significant improvement.
Yes.
That's great. So you accomplished your goal, which that was your primary goal. When you were coming in, you weren't thinking, I want to get into a huge election integrity related controversy and get intimidated by the Secretary of State and maybe the FBI and all that. That wasn't part of your ambition to get into politics.
No. My ambition to get into politics was to give back, to serve
So you accomplished that goal. That was your primary goal. And you also found that part of your responsibility as a county clerk is over that whole county. You've got a couple of responsibilities related to elections, right?
That's correct. I oversee 5 divisions, and elections is one of them. Yes.
And the elections and altogether, just to give everybody an idea, how many employees are under you total?
35.
Okay. So it's a real job. It's a real CEO position of a department of the government. And you ultimately answer to the people because they're the ones that elected you, right?
That's
and there's right. certain divisions of power and such, right? I mean, you ultimately, do you report to the Secretary of State for the state? Is that how it works? Or who do you report to? Who's in your pecking order of authority above you?
There is no one, just the American people, the people
of my. A lot of people don't know that. They kind of think differently. So you really report kind of like a sheriff directly to the people of the county.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah.
So that's kind of a good post for somebody who's been in business for a while. You've been in business for how many years?
32 years.
And you guys, you and your husband were in the construction business. Is that right?
That's right. Very successful. We weathered through the 2008 downturn. Wow. made some adjustments.
Building homes or commercial buildings or both, or what did you build?
We used to do both. And okay. then we scaled it down after many years, we scaled it down to, mainly, foundation repair, things okay. like that. Yeah.
All right. Great. Fantastic. Well, that's great. That's a tough job. There's a lot to being a general contractor, and not everyone knows how hard that is, but just like a lot of businesses that unless you're in it, you don't realize all the components to it, but good for you. Congratulations. So you want to bring your business experience to the political world, and minus the controversy that you weren't expecting that we're going to talk about in just a minute, and the whole FBI issue and the whole incident, your primary goal, if that was non-existent, has been accomplished. You've been able to improve customer experience, which is what your primary motivation for going to politics was. Am I saying that right? Is that correct?
That's correct. That's All correct. Right. I love the people of the county, and I serve them.
All yes. right. Well, it sounds like a fun job now that I understand it better, and that you really are reporting directly to the people, and that's kind of fun. I don't think most of us knew that before. All right. So now I want to just spend, before we jump into the action thriller part, all right, just one more moment about you personally. So you are a Gold Star mom.
That's correct. That's correct. My son served 9 years as a Navy SEAL, serving our country in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay. And you... I saw a picture of him. He's a handsome guy, and so sorry for your loss. Seems like he was also a tough guy. I guess pretty much everybody has to be as a Navy SEAL. He was a big guy too, right? Wasn't he kind of tall?
Big guy. Great heart. He loved this country. When I told him I was running for office, he said, "Mom, you got this." He said, "The only thing is you'll probably do more than what's required."
And little did he know. Now, when did he pass, as it relates to you and the election and all that? When was that happening?
Yeah. He passed away. He was killed tragically Memorial Day, 2017.
Oh.
One month before I won the primary.
Oh, my goodness.
I was running for office.
That's a heartbreak. I'm so sorry.
Unexpected. 27 years old. Love life. Love this country. He's getting ready to be deployed again to Iraq. And when this happened.
Well, thank you for your role in his service. Now, your husband served as well, correct?
He did. He was a Marine. He was affected by Agent Orange and is now in a nursing home with Parkinson's and dementia.
He fought in Vietnam?
He did, yes. Okay.
So bless your heart. You've had a tough life. And you're also a survivor yourself, aren't you? Tell us about that real quick.
Yes. Cancer survivor. And I prayed that I would never forget what that felt like. The despair, of being given a cancer diagnosis. Oh. So I really feel for people out there that are going through that. It's a very
difficult
thing. Thank
you for your fight. My wife's a survivor as well. You guys have a similar spunk and fight to you. And I think that goes a long way to helping. But you're a tough lady. You've been through a lot. But I don't think most people that have heard about you through just the sensational media would know about this part of your story, or that your primary motivation for entering this particular political post was truly to be, I'm going to put words in your mouth, but you tell me if this is accurate, kind of a mama bear for your county. Is that a fair statement?
That's correct. And for my employees, I get a little emotional when I talk about the people of Mesa County because I love them. I walk door to door talking to them in during the 2016 election. And I just asked them, I would just say, you know, I'm just a volunteer. And how do you feel about the election? And I would just listen. It didn't matter if they were Democrat, Republican, unaffiliated. I just listened to them. And I fell in love with them. And I fell in love with my employees. They are fantastic. They are family. Family is the big thing. So
that's wonderful.
I get a little emotional when I start talking about the people because I really do love them.
Well, my suspicion is if we went down the pecking order and interviewed some of those people, they would probably have high regard for you because it's coming through loud and clear that you're a servant leader and you really want to take care of them. And it doesn't sound like you were doing this for any selfish ambition purpose. You were moving into politics for the benefit of your county is what it sounds like to me. So is that a fair statement?
I've never done anything from selfish ambition. That is correct.
Well, thank you for having a son that served us, for a husband that served and protected us, that you have to continue to have challenges with now, and for your own challenges. So thank you for all that. All right, now we're going to move from that, the part about Tina being what sounds to me like a good person that would be having a fair and reasonable goal and objective to benefit her county, to the controversy. Now, before we get into the details that built for the controversy, I just want the trailer of the action, because there was something that happened there that not a lot of people know. And I don't know if I even understand the full story. So just help me understand the swooping away and why you were being swept away and what's going on there. Is your life under threat, or what's happening?
My life was under threat. I was swept away by political operatives that do not want the truth or don't want to be exposed, whatever that means. And evidently, I've touched a nerve. And so I was swept away for my own safety. I was kept under security. After my hotel room.
So this is just from some wealthy benefactor that helped swept you away and was observing the situation. He got involved and helped protect you.
That's correct. My hotel room was broken into. And so I was swept away again. And then I had 24/7 security.
Wow. So how long did all of that process last? The fear of your life sweeping away 24/7 security before you were able to kind of resume duties when things settled down and got safer for you?
That was about 4 weeks.
That's a long time. So month of sleepless nights?
That's correct. I had I'd packed for 2 days and it turned into almost over a month. Yes.
Wow. Wow. And why did it settle down? Like, did they just kind of give up, or was the essence of the problem taken care of? Or why did you go from having a threat against your life to not having one?
Well, in the meantime, there were operatives that in the state and county and federal government, they were trying to take over my office, and I needed to come back. And they were... I felt at that point, because of some of the irregularities that were being exposed, that that it was safe to do so. I still don't know. I still have people that are wanting to provide me protection. Yeah. Okay.
So now I asked you if it was the FBI. Are you not sure that it was the FBI, or do you think it was the FBI, or was the FBI involved in any of the ramming down of a door or anything? Because my understanding was there was a ramming down of a door at some point. Is that true? Or ransacking an apartment, or what was ransacked?
November 16th, the FBI raided mine and three other people's homes. And my personal home.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get back to that, because that kind of hits a nerve for me in terms of what the goal and the mission of the FBI is supposed to be. Let's get back to that. So they raided your home in November 16th, after the elections, of course. You were raising issues of concern in your county that you are overseeing. Is that correct?
That's correct. The citizens kept bringing me information and their concerns. And it was, as their elected official, it was my responsibility to investigate them. Yes.
So you were investigating these concerns, and they were election integrity issues. And how would you describe what happened after that? When you were swept away and right before that, when you knew you were being swept away, what was happening? You found something big, or they thought you were going to find something big, or what was the spark?
Yeah. Well, I was concerned that there were going to be some election records deleted off of the Mesa County citizens server. And so I made a copy, which is perfectly legal to do. So I made it before they came in and did this trusted build. And then I made a copy after. And when the copies were compared, there were some grave concerns when they discovered.
So you made a copy of the before and after, and you could just do your own. It wouldn't necessarily be a forensic audit, but you could just do your own kind of common sense audit and say, hey, there's some concerns here. And that's what you were raising. Is that correct?
That's correct. I just wanted to preserve the election records because by state law, election records have to be preserved for 25 months and federal law, 22 months. And it is my responsibility to preserve those election records. And I felt they might be.
You were responding in your mind to the people who are your boss, which is the people of Mesa County. And you have a responsibility, kind of like a sheriff, to handle elections in an honest way as part of your duty. So this wasn't just this customer experience strategy concept. You were trying to do something that's fairly serious, which is preserve what you believed to be a significant problem. And you wanted to make sure that there was evidence to support whatever the outcome was. And you wanted to be able to hold on to that as part of your job and be able to then what? I mean, give that to authorities that would be able to do something with it or what? Or
well,
just preserve it because the law says you have to preserve it.
Preserve it. I had no idea what would be found. I just knew that.
But you didn't have this big, where some people have maybe accused you of having this conspiracy theorist mindset of trying to do a gotcha against the federal government. That wasn't your mindset. You were literally just trying to do your duty as a county clerk and preserve records. That is something that you were required to do by state law and federal
for two years. True. Yes. Yes.
And that preservation is what caused the problem. That's when there was the break-in. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
It happened pretty much right after they knew that you were preserving these records.
That's right. Okay. The before and after. Yes.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So I want to divert for just a moment to back to before the controversy, building up to the election. I'm sure you as a conservative and in a conservative county had some run-ins with the Secretary of State, who is known to be not conservative. and I'm sure you could amplify why that's the case. What was that relationship like between the Secretary of State, who doesn't really have any direct authority over you, and yourself?
The Secretary of State, that position should be a nonpartisan position. And Jenna Griswold has made it, has weaponized her office to become, she is the chair for the Democrat Association of Secretaries of State. And their main goal is to get Democrat secretaries of state elected all across the country. And so other clerks have had this type of opposition, the same as myself.
Right. You're not the only one with that.
That's correct.
But she has an agenda. And so you knew going into the election that you would have some, at least political opposition to you doing your duties. Was that fair to say?
Well, there should not be. I mean, everyone deserves a free and fair election. So it has nothing to do with what party you're of. I love, like I've said before, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Libertarian, Green Party. It doesn't matter. We're all Americans and we're all citizens just trying to preserve our way of life and the Republic. So that's our goal as Americans.
So we've got an FBI coming in and breaking into your home, right?
Yes.
And you were gone when they broke into your home.
Oh, no. No, I was here. That was here.
And when you were there, did they put you in handcuffs?
No, they did another woman in front of her kids, put her and her husband in handcuffs with guns drawn and for just her support of me and school board.
My goodness.
Yeah, parents.
We'll have to talk to her.
Yes.
Another time. But in your situation, they came into your home. It was pretty intimidating. They kind of ransacked the home, took things.
Yes. They came to the door a little bit after 6 a.m., woke me up. As I have a Ring doorbell, they actually put a piece of tape, walked up to the Ring doorbell, put a piece of tape over it to obscure what they were doing.
Interesting.
And then
they were blocking any surveillance that you had.
Right. There, and then it was removed by one of my people. But I can never forget that feeling when you hear those forceful knocks and then someone saying, "Open up, FBI, search warrant."
Well, let's talk about what the FBI's duties are for a minute. Let me see if you're guilty of any crimes here. So let's see. The FBI's mission, I'm reading from the from their actual official mission, is national security and law enforcement. And they can use intelligence in a pretty broad way. It's the only security department, the only U.S. intelligence community that has broad authority in the United States. And that's after big criminals, terrorist acts, that type of a thing, mostly terrorist acts, threats to homeland, threats to the American people at large. So they're supposed to swear on the Constitution to protect the American people. So according to them, their primary responsibility is to protect the United States from terrorist attacks. Were you involved in any terrorist attacks?
No, and I didn't feel very protected when they raided me.
And you didn't feel very protected. How about no. Protecting the United States against foreign intelligence and espionage? Were you involved in any espionage or anything?
No, never.
Were you? They want to protect the United States against cyber-based attacks using high technology crimes, cyber criminal activity. Any of that ring a bell for you? Were you guilty of that?
No, I can run a computer, but I need some help with some things.
So you weren't hacking into any high level groups and involved in a cyber criminal activity?
No, absolutely not.
So we've got the they're supposed to combat corruption and gross civil rights violations. Were you in violation of any civil rights act, or was there any corruption in your office? Did you pay yourself more than you should have, or create a phantom employee, or involved in any embezzlement, or can you say you're pretty clean there?
No, I don't even have a parking ticket.
Okay. It's kind of hard to find out why the FBI is breaking into your home here. They're also supposed to combat transnational criminal enterprises. Were you involved in any transnational criminal enterprises, Tina?
No. I'm not even sure what that is.
Significant white collar crime?
No.
Any major violent crime?
Never.
This is what the FBI is supposed to be spending their time and energy on. The FBI is not supposed to be crashing into people's homes when a person is just fulfilling their duties. In your view, you were trying to provide a good customer experience for the Mesa County citizens, whether they voted or not. For that portion of your job, that was your motivation to get it. And you have two pieces of your job, two of your five functions that are elections related. And in that job duty, you also need to preserve and keep records, right? And so you're attempting to fulfill the duties of your job. It doesn't sound like to me the FBI had any role whatsoever. Can you think of any reason, any rational reason the FBI should be banging down your door and blocking off any potential surveillance that you have?
No. You know, the DOJ, Merrick Garland, we can see they've been weaponized against school board moms and anyone that opposes their agenda. And so I feel like this has been a tactic to intimidate me and my staff. What they're going through is just unforgivable. My chief deputy is out on felony charges of burglary, which is totally ridiculous. She is the clerk in my stead. They've removed her on these trumped up charges, and my elections manager was fired without giving any reason for her firing.
What's the recourse?
For the people to hear the truth. You know, we need people. We need this story to get out, Barry. And that's why I appreciate you so much, is the American people need to know if something like this can happen to an ordinary citizen, an elected official, that's just trying to preserve election records or improve the quality of life of citizens, that they can be harassed and intimidated, that it could happen to each one of us here in America.
Well, this is so important. You are a courageous woman, and I'm very grateful that you came on our show. You know, people of the world, whoever's listening and watching, I just got to tell you something. This is crazy. I mean, here's this woman who is a delightful person, had lots of life struggles, lost her son who served valiantly. Her husband is suffering extraordinarily from his willingness to serve this country. And she had to combat physical issues for herself. And then she wants to jump into politics to reduce wait times for Department of Motor Vehicles. She just wants you to have a better customer experience. That's her grand ambition. That's a pretty solid reason to enter politics. We need more people like her. The FBI needs to be spanked. This is ridiculous. Their goals should be limited to what their mission initially was. They should not be attempting to terrorize good American people, whether they agree with them or not. It's not their place. Freedom matters, and the FBI needs to be curtailed. So I'm encouraging everyone to get a surveillance system in their homes that ties directly to one of those cybersecurity-based systems that are encrypted. And when that's the case, the FBI can't get it. You'll have it, and you'll be able to use that as a countermeasure. If all of this was under surveillance, it would have been easier for this story to be made known. So I'm encouraging every one of you who have an opinion, whether it's my opinion or someone else's opinion, and if you're wanting to express it, get yourself that internal surveillance system. So if the FBI ever comes and bangs on your door and is way outside their bounds, maybe we can crimp their authority back to the more limited place and scope that it should be to go after real criminals, not people who have a different opinion. To your freedom. God bless you.
Hi, I'm David Farah. Thank you for listening to my dad's podcast, The Barry Farah Show, Culture Shift. Click subscribe now to be sure you don't miss an episode. Share this podcast with your friends on social media and give The Barry Farah Show your 5-star rating. Check out today's show notes below this episode and at thebarryfarahshow.com. This podcast is also available in video format at The Barry Farah Show on YouTube. See you next time.